sealed my pardon. Amen. It's just a blessing that we can worship him tonight and that Mike can come and bring us some more song. Mike.
Well, if you notice, I haven't been singing a whole bunch the last couple of services because my voice is just in rusty, crusty mode at this point. I like to blame the weather, but it's probably because I'm old and crusty, and the endurance sometimes is not there. I tell them I sound like a rock and roll singer at times. I got that gravel rough voice here, which is not good for our fundamental circles. It would work real good some other places, but what I tried to teach you earlier this week is a chorus by one of the newer songs that I've written called "He's Always There." And I have the choir, which is before me, do the echo part. And we'll see how good your memory is and see if you can remember the part, because it's not real hard. He's always there. Can you say it, please? He's always there. Do we need to practice? Ready? The Lord is there. He's good. Through it. Yeah, you got it. Let's try it. In this world are many people living life in despair, consumed with the thought nobody cares, forsaken, forgotten, or in brokenness of heart. There's only one always there when a life falls apart. Here we go. The Lord is there.
He's always there.
When every day awakens, the Lord is there.
He's always there.
When in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope eludes your sight, the Lord is there.
He's always
there. He will never forsake his own. Jesus Christ is the answer to the troubles we bear. He brings peace to our heart when life seems unfair. With things or people, disappointment life brings. When the Lord saves your soul, then you always can sing. Give me a little more volume, choir. The Lord is there. When every day awakens, the Lord is there. When in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope eludes your sight, the Lord is there.
He's always
there. He will never forsake his own. He will never forsake his own. Good job, choir. Wonderfully done. I'm going to do one more with you. This is one of the kids' songs. I've not been real good at this. My wife always gets on my case. I do have CDs and some other projects that I bring with me as I go. One, for those that may not know our ministry, it's a sacred CD. It's got 12 songs that I've written. If you're looking for a familiar oldies CD, it's not that one. It's all original stuff, by fully orchestrated, the rest guitar, cello, violin, that sort of thing. One picking and grinning song. And that one's like $14. And I have a just goofy one, you know, like we sang at the harvest parties, the coming around the mountain stuff, and really a holiday classic called "The Fat Came Back." You know, a marriage uniter called "I Bought My Wife a Dozer" because a Hoover wouldn't do, and pastor's favorite "Rattlesnake Mountain." I got rebuked by the preacher. I really did. I went home. He said, "You didn't sing my favorite song." And I said, "Well, I'm living with you. I can sing it to you every night if you want me to." But that one's $12. And then the latest project, I had it really ready to go before COVID hit, is a children's DVD-CD combination with sheet music access. And it's 20 songs I've written, Patch the Pirate type of songs. And the reason the DVD as well as CD is because of the action songs. And some of you have already gotten it. Hope it's been a blessing to you and your family and also to your ministry. But it's just been fun to have that. That's $25. That's because it's got all that stuff with it together. And I tell you what, I'm an old used car dealer. I told you, I'll sell you the whole load for $50 if you want to buy the whole enchilada, as they say. So those are on the back table if you're interested in something like that. As I mentioned earlier, it's been a wacko time, especially since the start of 2020. And I want to give a real good testimony of God's provision here in just a moment. But let's bow our heads and hearts and let's ask God to intervene on our behalf and do what He's looking to do, show Himself strong. Heavenly Father, we do again rejoice in this wonderful time of worship. Lord, thank You for the faithfulness of the folks. Thank You for friends from Blue Lick being here. It's always a joy to see them and have this kind of reunion and fellowship. But Lord, thank You for the faithfulness of the folks in this church. Lord, I know there's all kinds of opportunity for interruption. But Lord, thank You for allowing them to, again, be convicted, challenged, or just making a right choice to be where they should be. In the local church, buying up an opportunity of hearing more of You, to be more like You, to, again, do more faithfully for You. So Lord, again, continue to mold us and make us this hour. God, meet the need of whatever that need may be through Your preaching. And God, what You set forth as a message. And Lord, help those that may not know You for sure. They're maybe wavering on where they're going to spend eternity. It's a hope so, maybe relationship with You. God, help them to know before they leave this room that they know that they know that they know that Jesus Christ is their personal Savior. Lord, we thank You again and praise You for this time. Lord, just we rejoice in Your goodness this hour. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you can start finding the passage while I give some notes of introduction as far as what I'm thinking in my mind and heart. You know, in 2020, it was probably one of the most challenging times of evangelism for me. Just because nobody liked me, everybody hate me, I thought I should go eat worms. You know, when churches are closed down, camps are shut down, my wife is stuck with me. My marriage was almost over, people. Are you with me? I have a very strong, solid marriage because I'm on the road most of the time now. You know I'm kidding, but, you know, when things got canceled, my last really official meeting in 2020 was March 15th. I did a couples retreat. And then the bottom fell out of the wagon as far as churches being closed down and just opportunities were just kind of shut off. Now, I did do a couple in the spring, which was really kind of unique. I did one down around Cincinnati. And it was so freaky because everybody in the church was wearing a mask while I was preaching. Hold up! You know, it was kind of like it was so strange. Because as a speaker, if you've done any public speaking, you read the expression and the response to people that you're preaching to. It kind of gives you an energy and then an insight whether you're communicating what you're hopefully communicating. Well, that was strange, but it was a good meeting nonetheless. The other one, I maybe shared this last time because it's so funny. We did a parking lot revival. Do you remember me telling you about that last year? You know, the most dangerous thing about a parking, you can groan again like you did last time. The most dangerous thing about a parking lot revival is when you give the invitations, those cars start coming forward. You know, get out of the way, Martha, here they come. But it was a hoot and a holler. It was down south of Columbia, South Carolina. And these people, it was well attended. I had a bunch of Harley boys sitting out on their hogs out in front of me. And it was just a really well attended meeting. Matter of fact, the pastor kept doing, he might still be doing outdoor meetings because he had better attendance at that than he did coming into the auditorium. Well, then the summer was shut down and I was honestly bummed because I like doing what I do. Well, this church pastor just retired, called me down in Columbia, South Carolina, big church, and said, Brother Maynard, we think you're the only one that can do this. I said, ooh, what do you think I can only get done? He said, we're having a church-wide vacation Bible school. Now, I've done those before, and it is a challenge, and it's, you know, a diversity of crowd, to say the least. But they said, here's what we've got planned, and we think you can help us do this. I said, well, I'm not too busy. And what happened was, they would do a chorus to start things out. No, first of all, they started with a staff skit, and it was always scary. But they did their little funny thing, and then the chorus to the song leader, he came up and he did the music like a song leader does. And then they had a missionary report, because a lot of missionaries were struggling, like a lot are even today. Some can't get even back to their mission field because of COVID restrictions. But they give a report, and it was really a blessing and very informative, but again, very heartbreaking in a lot of the reports. Then I would do another chorus would be sung. I'd sing a kid's song. I would do a fun song and maybe a chorus, and we'd lead into the message. And I'd do somewhere 15, 20-minute challenge. But again, pretty God-sized church, pretty well. They were sick of being at home by themselves. Are y'all with me or with family members? So it was a pretty good attended opportunity. Well, what happened? They already had the title on this particular summer activity. It was called Family Matters. And I thought, well, that's pretty good, but what does your mind go to when I say Family Matters? I think of Steve Urkel and the big guy Carl. Do you remember that Family Matters show that was on a sitcom? You know, did I do that? That was kind of the memorable phrase that came out of that. But you know, it went this way. Family Matters, you know, what happens in a family, what should happen biblically, because why? Families matter. So it was very, very challenging and very fun for me to give just instruction about how the family unit's supposed to work. And folks, the devil's doing all he can to obliterate the family structure today, especially when it comes to dad's leadership. And you know, one thing about, let me say this about Urkel and Big Carl. You know, Carl was a policeman. And he had one of the, if I'd have been married to the woman he was, I may be in prison for murder. Are you all with me here? She was just one of the nang, 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 nang sort of gals. But what they did show was when he put his foot down, they responded to his leadership and authority. That was probably something positive that came out of the whole show at the time it was on. But you know, I got to preach during the Father's Day time of the summer. And what I'm going to preach on tonight, this is for our sound man and label guy, Talk to Me. That's the title of the message here tonight. But what I got after I gave the challenge on the responsibility of a dad is a list of things. It's from a guy named Larry Huffhand. He thinks he's the bishop of fundamentalism in Indiana. He's still kicking. He's in his 80s, still preaching. And he really is a very brilliant guy and a good preacher of the Word of God, just has a very obnoxious personality. Are you all with me, people? So that's just kind of the way it works sometimes. But he gave seven fundamentals of being a good dad. Now, this is not my message, but it's worth taking the time. And I won't do this for a long period of time. Here's what he set forth, and this is, again, worth repeating. A good dad is one who is truly saved and committed to Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of dads profess to know Jesus, but they ain't got anything to back it up. Are you with me? In their conversation, in their scheduling of life, in what really is truly important to them. So if you're going to be a good dad, you make sure you have the real deal. You're just not playing church, going through the motions, doing your religious thing. No, you've got a biblical relationship with Jesus. Number two, a good dad is one who is faithful to the local church and honors the pastor. You know, your kids learn how to be faithful biblically by the response you give to the commandments of the Word of God. And folks, as we mentioned the other day, you may have hired the preacher, but God called him. Don't mess with God's anointed. And again, what should a good dad do? A good dad is one who is faithful to the local church. You don't come because you have to. No, you know it's a blessed privilege. But with that, you give honor to the pastor. Number three, a good dad is one who is separated from the world. You know, how many dads have I seen that allowed their kids or even encouraged their kids to be like the world instead of like Christ? And folks, that's always a wrong parenting fulfillment. Number four, a good dad, you girls will like this one. A good dad is one who is passionately in love with his children's mother. You know, one of the hardships I'm experiencing this week. These two won't leave each other alone. It's embarrassing, people. They don't realize, I told them tonight, I've been on the road for like a month or better without my wife, and you guys are kissing all each other all the time. Sick people, I'm telling you. Yeah, I think it's pretty cute. A good dad is one who is passionately in love with their children's mother. Let me say this. You may not be a huggy, kissy person, but you need to get over that. Your kids need to learn how to express it outwardly. Not just say, when I'm married, I told you I love you, isn't that good enough? No, it's not. And folks, again, they'll learn how to treat their mates by the example you set forth. And I see that in a negative way, but I also see it in a very blessed, God-honoring, biblical fashion. So again, a good dad is one who passionately is in love with his children's mother. Just make them grossed out. You know what I'm saying? Especially when they're teenagers. Just be kissing on each other and hugging and googly eye. You know, that's just fun to do to irritate the children. Okay, number five. A good dad is dedicated to the overall well-being of his children. In other words, you're not a slug. You're not a poor steward of work responsibility. And us preachers have seen a lot of dads who are just couch potatoes or just, again, lazier than all get out, and they really don't teach their children a good work ethic. I'm going to brag on my grandkids. You know, I've got 9 living next door to me. And, you know, from the youngest to the oldest, they've been taught, you will work and do it right or you will die. Okay? That's kind of their motivation. And that's what I love about farmers and farm families, because they will work or they will die. You will become a part of our grain bin if you don't get this done in a right way. And you know what? Is that needed in the world, boys and girls, friends and neighbors? Yes, it is. So again, a good dad, he's going to show them how to work. And again, provides well-being to his children. Number six, a good dad is a man of deep devotion. You know what, folks? That should pour out of every aspect of who and what you are. You should communicate with your eyes, even with what comes out of your mouth, how much you love Jesus and how much your heart is committed to please Him, whether man pleases you, your family pleases you. No, you're looking, and they know it, that Jesus is first place. I mentioned it the other day, how many fathers or wives or mothers have compromised on their position for Christ, all in the name of trying to keep their kids happy. Folks, what can you do best and foremost for your kids? Live biblically. And don't adjust your biblical positions based on what people think. No, just have character. Be a person of integrity. And just do what's right. And here's the last one. And this really went with the other one. A good dad shows his children by example how to work. So again, I know that's not the direction we're going, but I thought it was a good little add-on as far as the message is concerned. Now, let me set up this, and especially for folks that have never been a part of our ministry. I've been in it, Mrs. Neighbors, it's hard to imagine, but I've been evangelism almost 31 years, and it seems like I just started. Now, before I started into evangelism, I was a pastor in Portland, Indiana, a church planter. Never thought I would be a pastor with this personality, this wacko sense of humor. And you know what? I drove those people nuts half the time. But I'm in a position where I should be. You know, with my personality, my talents, or lack thereof, this is, you know, if I had to be a pastor again, I think I'd just eat people. I don't have that pastoral patience as the irritations of ministry come my way, especially as I get a little cranky and older. But what I found as a pastor, I was counseling all the time. People are looking to have answers to their frustrations, especially today. But what I found over and over and over again, whether it's husband and wife, you know, parents and their children, or even relationships in the local church, you know what was the biggest common denominator? Unbiblical communication. They did not understand how to let the stuff come out of your mouth the way God wants it to come out of your mouth. That's what I want to talk about tonight. And again, this is just so, again, simple, but simply stated what we all need to be reminded of. Now, where do we see this very blatantly yet simplistically set forth? In Ephesians chapter 4. So get your sword out here and get there real quick, if you would, please. And I'm going to give you several, again, points of how to communicate according to the instruction here in this passage of Scripture. Now, where did I get this information? I want to give credit to whom credit's due and the honor here. Where I pastor was in Portland, Indiana. Now, that's right across from Fort Recovery, Ohio. That's where all the people from my town went to get drunk. It was the closest town that we could get to. I never did that, of course, because I was so near perfect. But what happened, folks, right across the state, the other direction is Purdue. You know, Lafayette, Indiana, the Boilermakers, you know, the ones that Ohio State always kills. And so, except in basketball, of course. But remember Gene Cady? Did he have the ugliest hair known to mankind? You know, Bobby Knight kind of overshadowed that with his rotten attitude. But Gene Cady, I think he used that spray that used to be on the commercials, you know, that had the shoe polish in it to make you look like you had hair, but you just were painting your forehead. I thought that was really strange. My wife told me, she says, if you ever start wearing a toupee, I'm telling you right now, I don't believe in divorce, but I'm leaving you. I said, okay, I'll just keep that in mind in case I want to go. Oh, so now this is what I learned from them. This was established, this faith counseling ministry, that's what else is in Lafayette. And a guy named Byers is now the head of that. But back when it started, it was a guy named Bill Good. And what a gracious, brilliant man. Well, he and a guy named Dr. Smith started all this counseling, biblical counseling, and they call it nouthetic counseling. So it just means it's just Bible counseling. This is how to live biblically. Now, I was always introduced by Bill Good. He came to my ordination. You know, I had him come over and do a family emphasis week. And we knew each other pretty well. But I would always go over when the Wild Staff, you know, the camp in North Carolina, would go down to take training on nouthetic counseling. And they went there several times. And he says, oh, yeah, this is my pastor friend from 2 hours away that is never taking my nouthetic counseling, you know, sessions. I just laughed at him. But I did have all the good material. And the one I used the most was this particular wonderful stuff that, again, explains it so straight up. And, boy, I tell you what, can be used to fix what's broken. If you're looking to fix what's broken as far as what comes out of your mouth. So let's go through this. And I'd encourage you folks, please, more than maybe you've ever done before, take notes. But most important, take note to your heart and in your mind on how God orders up this mouth to be used the way it's supposed to be used. So let me give you the first one. It's simply be honest. Now, this always blows my mind when I read it. You know, it's amazing to me that God says, don't be a liar. Do you all know the song I did for kids? Liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from the telephone wire. You know, why does God have to tell us? Because in and of ourselves, folks, if we yield to the flesh, we are liars. And we do it because of pride. We do it to cover up something stupid we've done or how we want to get our way. But folks, if we give in to our flesh instead of the Holy Spirit of God, hey, it won't be a struggle as far as lying coming from your life, even though you're a believer in Christ Jesus. So look at the verse 25. It says, wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Not just Jim neighbor, but your other neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, folks, again, is it a good thing to always tell what's on your mind? No, sometimes that puts you in real dangerous territory. But I'm telling them the truth, but you're not speaking the truth biblically. Go back to verse 15 of the same chapter. Go back to chapter 4 and verse 15. Here's the type of truth God wants to come out of your mouth. He says, but speaking the truth in love. Why? So they can learn and grow. So they can learn by your example how a Christian's supposed to open their mouth and what should come out. Now, let's think about speaking truth in love. So what happens if you're really doing it that way? Here's the motivator and the director of thought and action. How is what I'm saying affect the person I'm talking to? Because if you're truly speaking the truth in love, listen carefully, the other person's best interest is your main interest. You're not looking to just tear them apart with your verbiage. No, you're trying to fix it, help it, or again, show how much you care. So speaking the truth in love always has the other person's best interest in mind. Not your agenda, not what you feel or think, but it shows, hey, I care about you. Wives, you want to make the offering bigger right now? You know, you want to take the plate passing thing? Because a lot of husbands, they're not real good at this. Well, I'm a guy that speaks his mind. Well, guess what? If it's not edifying, keep your mouth shut. If it's not honoring to God, zip it. You know, I had this girl that was up at camp with us. She was a counselor, and she happened to be a gal I knew real well because she was the assistant pastor's daughter for where I was staff evangelist. She was a rattle mouth. Y'all with me here? The girl, I think she, I don't know this because I've never been with her at this point, thankfully. You know, she probably talked in her sleep. And she was just all the time. Well, I took her and her friend. They were working at the camp. And they were behind Annie and Steph. They were behind me in the back. And she just all the way there, you know. Well, guess what? We got to the church. Guess what he was preaching on? The tongue. And I'm telling you, you think I preach hard. I mean, talk about cleaning you up as far as non-biblical communication. He put the hammer down. Well, we got done. We're on our way back. And I thought the girl fell out of the car. Are you people with me here? You know, she didn't say anything. I really was concerned. I said, hey, Steph, are you okay? She's crying. And that's funny to me. And she was crying. I said, are you okay? Yeah, Brother Maynard. Can I ask you a question? Yeah, I thought this is going to be good. He said, when the preacher was talking about, you know, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. I said, well, that's pretty good analysis of the whole message here. She says, oh, Brother Maynard, I'll never be able to speak again. I went, victory, we've had revival, ladies and gentlemen. Pass the plate, come on forward. But that's the truth. If you can't say something that edifies and glorifies, keep it shut. That's what God's saying here. Because again, we're here to speak the truth. You know who are the worst at this? Teenage girls. Where'd my pick on little girl go? Okay. Yeah, she's not quite there, but she's close enough. You know, what do girls do? I see them do this all the time. Let's say this girl comes out with an outfit on that only Twiggy could wear. Does anybody remember Twiggy? She was just like a pencil. And you know, or these real skinny model girls that have on this stuff that only they could wear and it could be almost okay. But this gal who, let's say, is well upholstered, you know, a little larger than Twiggy, and she comes out with that outfit on it, and it looks like she bought it at the tent and awning sale. Are y'all with me here, people? She's just not a small-statured human being. And what happens to girls, because they don't want to hurt her feelings, you know, that sort of thing, they go, oh, honey, you're looking good in the neighborhood. And you know what I say? Liar, liar, pants on fire. Well, what was your motivation? Well, I didn't want to hurt her. You're going to hurt her worse by lying to her. But you could even hurt her worse by telling the truth. You could say, well, what are you thinking? Didn't you look in the mirror before you left? That's one of my favorite phrases of life. When I go to Walmart or I go in the airport, I look at people and I go, you didn't look in the mirror before you left the house, did you? Because some of the scariest sights I have ever seen have been in Walmarts or, again, an airport. But you know what? Speak the truth in love. Couldn't you kind of do it this way? Take them aside. Don't embarrass them. Don't make them get so low in their whole perspective of life, can't even see over the top of their shoes. That's not the goal of, again, communication. You're here to build people up, not tear people down. That is a Christ-like presentation of biblical communication. So yeah, go to them on maybe a private little opportunity and help them make better choices by speaking the truth in love. Let me say it again. When you open your mouth, you're supposed to have the other person's best interest in mind. Not you just venting yourself or you straightening someone else. No, you want to help build them up, not make them worse maybe than what they already are. And folks, all of us need remodeling, don't we? Hello, talk to me. All of us need straightened out, but by the Holy Spirit of God. I've had women come to me a lot and just burdened about their slug husband or just the heartache they face and this and that. And I said, listen, you're not there to nag your husband. You're there to submit to your husband's leadership and let God straighten him out, because that's not your job. What's your job? Pray and duck. Y'all with me here? Let's practice. Pray and duck. And let God clean his ever-loving clock. And I tell that to laymen. I tell that to preachers. Let God do the straightening out, because he's better at that than any of us ever could be. But boy, we like to just let her fly, don't we? That is unbiblical communication. Honesty. Here's a good quote. Honesty is not a license to be unkind. That's a biggie. Secondly, any speech that hides or distorts the truth, exaggeration, embellishment, innuendo, or passive aggression communication, fuels conflict rather than resolving it. Boy, that'll convict and preach. Let's go to number two. Number two, if you're communicating biblically, first of all, be honest. Secondly, keep current. What's that about? Look down at verse 26. This is the life verse of some Christians I know. Be angry. Yeah, there's a lot of angry people. It's not just Democrats. Y'all with me here? There's some angry Republicans out there too, and they just have no peace and no joy coming forth from the light. But listen, folks, I run into too many Christians that, again, are just not nice people. They're not, again, looking to help the cause of Christ. And they're not, again, keeping current with their conversations. Let me explain what that means. Let me read the two verses here. It says, be angry and sin not. Look here. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Well, kids, you know what that means? Take care of today's problems today. Because tomorrow's going to have enough to deal with. So don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Let me give a picture of this. Now, you kids don't understand this because you don't understand the joy of marriage relationship. Sometimes mommy and daddy, they don't agree with each other. And what they do, they go to bed and they look at each other sickly, like pastor and his wife. And they just googly eyed say, oh, forgive me. Oh, forgive me. I was wrong. It's my brother. And, you know, what happens, though, in a lot of realistic marriages, you know, they come, you're always like your mother. That's never a good thing, people. That's not going to help the scenario. Or girls, you're saying you're acting like your father. That, we'll get to that in just a moment. But what happens, instead of resolving the conflict, she goes this way, he goes that way. And again, unresolved conflict. And you let the sun go down upon your wrath. And what happens? You got more ammo for the next discussion. You hear me? You got you're like the National Guard armory. You got so many weapons in your little conversation cage, you could blow anybody out of the water, including the one you're supposed to love the most. So what happens when you don't resolve that? Now, kids, listen to Brother Maynard just as much with kids to mom and dad. Now, I know all of you have perfect parents. Not. I'm the only perfect parent, okay? I hate to brag, but no, I'm wrong too. But I do what I challenged you to do the other night. Admit you're wrong. And say, forgive me. And try to get it right sooner than later. And don't let the sun go down upon your eyes. You say, well, Brother Maynard, If I went to talk to my parents, they're kind of like the bunny with the drum. They just, Dad just never quits. He just keeps going and going and going and going. And some of the kids are going, oh, yeah. You know why I think that happens a lot? Because you don't go to each other enough. You hear me? And then when Dad finally has an opportunity to tell what he really wanted to tell 3 years ago, he gives you the whole load in one session because he's not sure another opportunity will come. Parents, you get me here? And it does happen. But folks, let's get in the habit of being biblical. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. If you do that, what happens? It may be a festering of anger, even malice, you're wrong thinking. And then it gets festered up and it becomes bigger and bigger. And again, it looks to just kill anybody in its path. And then it turns into that stuff that's so abundant today, bitterness. One of the things that blew my mind doing camps when I first started, still hurts my heart today. You know, the number one decision is, I don't read my Bible enough. Folks, would you all put your hand up in the air? Please, everybody, just humor me for a minute. Would you all put your hand in the air? You know, you don't read my Bible enough. Turn your palm towards your head and go, duh. Yeah, come on, teenager, let's go. How does that? You can't be successful for the cause of Christ unless you're faithful to the Word of God. And you don't know that because you're not reading your Bible. The second thing that really was a blessing is all the folks that get saved at camp. I see it all the time in rallies and stuff I do. But the one that just amazed me is how many, not just teens, even some juniors I've dealt with. They didn't know what it was, but they were bitter. And I family camps. How many times I've dealt with a wife or a husband that they're just so unresolved in conflicts that it's festered into bitterness. Now, folks, that not only defiles you, that also hurts and defiles people that you say you care for. So again, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What happens? Well, you give the devil a foothold. Neither give place to the devil. Because when you're in flesh-feeding mode, whatever sinful direction and fulfilling that is, then the flesh is running the show instead of the power and working of Almighty God. And again, you are not even functional, let alone usable for the will and working of God. And the devil's just having a heyday with you personally as well as your family. I'm going to read this here because it says it better. I said it better here than I've described it here. What happens when you let the sun go down upon your wrath? You build a stockpile of verbal weapons ready to be pulled out at an opportune time. But you would not have that ammo stockpile if you dealt biblically as problems occur. And again, folks, that's just not in your home. That's at your workplace. But really importantly, it's also in the local church. And folks, we always are here to do what pleases God, but also in turn bring edification and glorification in the midst of our conversation. Let me go to number three. Number three, attack the problem and not the person. Attack the problem, not the person. Isn't that an easier way to communicate? And pick out an idiosyncrasy or something we may not gel up with. You know, you marry a stranger, don't you? Have you two learned that, you little lovebirds here? That you know what? I know she's near perfect, but you're not, okay? So your woman there, that was real good. Your wife, you know, you don't realize all the idiosyncrasies that a man has. Girls are pretty close to perfect. They're always smarter. That's what I found out. It took me till I was about 35 to realize how blessed my wife was to be married to me? No. How blessed I am she hasn't left me at this point. That's what I've come to the conclusion. Because we men are pretty hard to live with, but you don't know that because what are they doing? They're in the hunt mode. They're pursuing you. And they want you as their own. After they got you, it's kind of like skip diddy doo da, and they just kind of go off doing their thing and become the old selfish guy they were in their pursuit. But they kind of shifted gears so they could reel you in. It's hard. Don't point, okay? Please don't point, or I can help you afterwards. But folks, that's just the way it is. But you know what? However frustrated you're in, let's deal with the problem and quit going for the throat. That's called cheap shot fleshly communication. Where's that found? Well, it's not too hard to understand. Look down at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Are you kind of like Stephanie? Oh, Brother Maynard, I'll never be able to speak again. Well, praise the Lord. And it is the same. If you can't say something nice, finish it with me. Don't say anything at all. That would limit the vocabulary of many, many people. And again, folks, it's a common problem to all of us. I'm 68 years old. I've been there and done that. You're blessed to be under the tutelage of Gamaliel Maynard here. And I, again, will instruct you on how to live a better life. And all I'm looking to do is strut my stuff, you know, and show them how much I have learned in this experienced life that I have been, again, blessed to be a part of and bless other people's with. Brother, talk about a pride-filled perspective. You're still dumber than a brick like the rest of us compared to who God is and what God's trying to bring to our minds and hearts, let alone set forth through our lives. Attack the problem, not the person. I'm going to write a song about this, hopefully, before I die. And I do this with juniors. I'll do it this weekend. We're here to build people up, not tear people down. You want to do it, don't you, kids? Let's all do it together, okay? Come on, this will wake you up if nothing else. We're here to build... Come on, Mrs. Neighbors, get your hand up. We're here to build people up, not tear people down. You got to go low on that part, okay? We're here to build people up, not tear people down. So again, verse 29, let me read the whole thing without interruption and commentary. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, though that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. And folks, you don't go do that, you know what? You grieve the Holy Spirit. You hurt the work and procedure of God's want to, and again, God's will. So let me go to Lazarus here, and we'll go for the house. Act, don't react. Act, don't react. What's that all about? Well, here it's pretty clearly demonstrated in the next couple of verses, 31 and 32. Here we go. Let all bitterness. Would you circle all like I do in my Bible? When it says all, it's not just when you feel like it or you think it needs to be implemented. No, no, no. No. Well, they deserve it, Brother Maynard. You know what they do, but pray and duck. You with me? Let again, God straighten them out. That's not your call. I had a guy, this will blow your mind. I had a guy, it was down south, it was West Columbia, just a little further south from where I did this Family Matters thing. There was this guy who was dumb enough to tell me this in this church. Now, the pastor was a friend of mine. You know, we're not kissing cousins or anything, but I've known the guy a lot of years. I've been with him at different ministries. And this guy came to me. He was a sound guy. They're always trouble people. Yeah, they're troublesome people. And he came to me and said, Brother Maynard, I believe I have a very specific call for the glory and honor of God. I said, oh, this ought to be good. Because he wasn't the most spiritual-minded guy even to talk to, let alone to get wisdom from. And he says, I believe my job is to keep the pastor straightened out. You know what I did? I stepped back because I thought God was going to kill that guy. You know, just zap him from on high. You know what again? That's not your job. Well, somebody's got to know you. That's not what you're here for. You're here to submit to the authority of God's word and again, communicate, but always do it biblically. And folks, if you don't, God's not happy with who and what you are. And you're not going to help the situation. You're going to put a hurting on what God's trying to do, whether it's in your home, again, your testimony of ministry at your business, or even in a local church. God says, act, don't react. What does that mean? Let me go Well, this feedback, if I go back here, I'm going to go pick. I've been picking on his sister the whole time. I want to pick on the brother, okay? Everybody kind of turn your head this way. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you the wrong parenting response. Are you hanging on for this ride, Bubba? Because this, you'll have nightmares after this. Are you ready? I'm telling you right now, you may be in a fetal position all night long in your bedroom. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. All right, here's the thing. What's your name? You shouldn't have told me. It's always bad when I know your name. Okay, Eric? Let's say Eric is my son. You will be bald before you're 18. Okay, I'm just telling you right now. And let's say Eric just does the normal brain-dead teenage thing. How many times did I tell him what to do? I can't remember how many times. But what does he do in the midst of his brain-dead decision-making process? He does exactly, am I helping you people here? Are you happy with me? He does exactly opposite of what I instructed him to do. I didn't beat him. I just told him over and over again. I wanted to beat him, okay? I wanted to drag him behind the car for about 3 miles. But I was a good dad. Now, he goes against what I told him. I mean, it's not good. I mean, it's not just a little, it was big, okay? And how do I respond? Oh, son, you know how much I love you. You have done wrong in my sight. And oh, please, I pray that God will do a work in your life. And no, here it is. Here's the carnal dad. What are you thinking, kid? I've told you 5,000, 3, That's called reacting instead of acting in a biblical way. And speaking, that hurt my throat, okay? No singing tomorrow. Okay, you get that? You want me to give you my phone number in case Dad does that to you? I can help you. I really can. Y'all with me here? You get that illustration? But you know what? That can happen not only between a dad and a child. And I say this all the time. I probably said it all. You understand sometimes, well, some animals eat their own. You know, it's just a frustrating thing as far as parenting's concerned. Because it seems like they don't hear a thing that you're trying to tell them. And you just want to go for the throat. And act instead of, you react instead of acting biblical. Again, folks, that's not our call. That's a call set forth from a holy, wonderful, can I say this? Very patient God. Because most of us should be zapped and dead by now. Y'all with me? Because, folks, I don't care how nice you are. I don't care how much money, what kind of personality. It's hard not to, again, be unbiblical in our communication. But I guess the question is, who are you looking to please? How much do you really care about the ministry that God has entrusted unto you? Do you really, 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 really love your family? Do you really, really, really love your church and want to see it grow? Can't do that, folks, if you're unbiblical. Whatever that biblical, unbiblical thing you're doing as far as Christianity is concerned, best thing you can do, folks, for your family is live according to thus saith the Lord. The best thing you could do is for your mission field or the place God's given you as far as ministry is concerned. Boy, Brother Bob over here, we've known each other for 100 years. He doesn't even cuss or anything when we play golf together. I admire the man. And he's a car dealer. Can you imagine that, people? We've had a lot of fun together. But you know what? What a mission field. But when you speak, if you care about what God's entrusted to you, what's going to be the right choice always? Speak the truth in love. So let me review and we'll have an invitation opportunity. First of all, be honest. Can we say it together, friends and neighbors? Be honest. Put away lying. That exaggeration. Stretching it out. Again, not really telling the truth. Boy, I tell you what, it's easy for your flesh to get into that kind of practice. Secondly, keep current. You got a problem with someone, go to them sooner than later. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Well, they're not going to listen to me anyway. That's still not your call. Your call is to do it biblically. But if you're going to go for it and get it right, you got to do it again with love. having the other person's best interests in mind. You know, I had a guy, I'm going to park on this because this is something that really hurt my heart. I had a guy of a very educated position in a biblical institution. And I said a phrase that just flipped his bonnet. I come from a pretty raw, crude background. And you know what? I try to guard my speech as I'm supposed to. But this guy, he called me everything but the right thing. I mean, I had to stop him. I'm on the phone with this guy. He's going on and on. And I said, whoa. What in the world are you thinking? And what do you think I'm thinking? You know what the guy did? This is a good outline to preach. Mr. Neighbors, this would be good at a ladies' retreat. Here it is. He assumed, he accused, but he never asked. That's good, isn't it? He assumed I was this. He assumed I was this way. He assumed, then he accused me of that, but he never asked me, what are you thinking? Mike, are you really that way? What's guiding that conversation? I would have just told him because I'm stupid, okay? Or because I guess I didn't think that was a bad statement. But he assumed I was this. He accused me of doing this. But he never communicated biblically. He didn't care enough about me fixing what's broken. He was just trying to straighten me out. So again, be honest. Keep current. Deal with today's problems today. Number three, attack the problem and not the person. It's always easy to cut down someone's character or, again, some idiosyncrasy that doesn't quite park in your agreeable mindset. That's going to happen whoever you're in communication with, even the ones you know and love the best. But number four, act. Don't react. Yeah, he needs a whooping. Boy was just rebellious. You know what? But I don't want to do that according to Mike's frustration or the anger that I'm not, again, putting in the control of Almighty God. But look at the last two verses. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you, even with wrong thinking, with all malice. And here's God's will for your life and mine. Be ye kind. You remember the song? You haven't heard this one yet. It goes like this. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Let's just be nice. For soon you will discover some people will be mean or weirder than you've ever seen. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. That's just reflecting verse 32. Be ye kind, tender-hearted. To what degree? Well, forgiving one another. You know how bad they hurt me. Forgiving one another. I don't care how deep or hurtful, you still have a responsibility of faithful, right choosing. Forgiving one another. How much? How deep? How again is it directed? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So folks, what's God's will for your life and mine? Let's just do it God's way and communicate according to thus saith the Lord. Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Again, the invitation, it's for everyone, whether you're a church member or whether you're visiting and blessing us with your presence tonight. So again, the opportunity is available. What a great time of worship at an old-fashioned altar. You can't kneel? Well, come on, sit on one of the pews, but move when God says move. And be tender. Now, here's something that needs to be thought through and maybe committed to tonight. Because of unbiblical communication, sometimes we hurt people deeply. And now, whether you've offended someone or someone's offended you, guess what you do according to the Word of God? You go to them and try to get it right. Now, they may irritate you more when you try to get it fixed. I've seen that and heard that a bunch. But that does not alleviate your responsibility of dealing with that the way God would have you deal with that. So again, maybe that's a thing to commit to not just get it right between you and God, but get it right with mom and dad, or get it right with your mate. Whoever, again, you've been unbiblical in your communication endeavors. Because folks, whether we're eating or drinking or whatsoever we're doing. We're here to do all to the glory of God. You can't do that if you're unbiblical in communication. Heavenly Father, help us now as we have this invitation. Lord, this is probably one of the most impacting, important message to every person in this church that I've preached all week long. And Lord, it's probably one of the biggest problems that all of us face as far as our life in Christ is concerned. Because most of the time, God, as you tell us clearly, we care more about our reasoning or our feelings or what we think than what the Word of God truly says. Lord, they can dodge the bullet of conviction if they choose to, but God, I'm going to pray and duck and just let you reveal the truth, park the truth in the mind, heart, and even in the little tool called the tongue. God, so again, this church will be, our testimony will be that which is pleasing unto you. Now, Lord, if there is someone here again tonight that doesn't know you, they just struggle with their eternal security, where they're going to spend forever. God, I pray they'll settle that even here tonight and, Lord, experience your saving, loving, merciful grace. So again, God, help us tonight to just shove the flesh aside and respond in a way that you lead us to respond to you this hour. With heads bowed and eyes closed as our instruments play, God has dealt with your heart. Let me invite you to come.